You're listening to
Sci-Fi Dig. Greetings, one and all. Welcome to Sci-Fi Dig Show 331. I am your host, Aaron Makem, and today I'm going to talk about the Fringe episode, The Inner Child. I'm also going to cover a little bit of news here and give you some new DVD releases. So, my first bit of news. This is going to be a love it or hate it thing right here. I can tell you right now. They are talking about MSN wants to reboot Heroes and use it on the Xbox Entertainment Studio. We're in the real preliminary stages here, okay? But they're talking about a revival. Obviously, they want to do since they're going to, depending on how much money they want to put behind it, I mean, we're going to focus on a new group of superpowered people, and they want to have cameos from the original. Now, I'm all for this because, as you know, when Heroes premiered in 2006, that first season, I really enjoyed it. Season one, season two, I did a breakdown of the entire season on Sci-Fi Dig. It was one of the more large projects that I undertook on here. That's one of the things that I loved about it. Okay. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I have, kind of have rose colored glasses when it comes to the first couple seasons. I think I watched part of season three and after that just kind of dropped off and quit watching it. It wasn't, part of that was because the show wasn't really going anywhere. Part of that was the fact that at the time I did not get NBC. So if I wanted to watch it, I had to actually use a VCR to record the show, and it became a giant pain in the butt. And so it was just too much hassle. But I remember doing the shows, and I set up rules for myself. I can only have so many clips. They could only be so long. And I had little musical interludes in between each thing. And it was a lot of fun putting it together. It took a very long time, pages and pages of notes to try to get everything together. And I don't know if it was good or not. I think it was pretty damn good. I think it was some of the better work that I've done for the podcast personally. But, the show had a lot of issues. Now, I'm all about doing a revival, I guess, or kind of a reboot. But it all depends on how they're going to work in the other cast. Personally, I think they should do a reboot and just forget about the heroes that we already know. If we want to have cameos and them not be the people that they were, I'm okay with that. But I think we should just work on doing a whole new show and doing it correctly and having it go a lot more smooth. It seems as though there was a lot of writing themselves into corners they couldn't get out of, and things kind of got sloppy and messy. But I'm all for it. I would like to see this in one form or another. One of the things about all these direct video shows that they're doing is, as exciting as all of this is, we're still in a situation where, now we have to choose our TV packages of what show to watch. But now we're going to have to choose what sort of device we have, because a lot of these things are not going to be available over multiple devices. If it's going to be Xbox, it's going to be Xbox only. Are we going to still be able to go and are we going to be able to get an app for our computer or our phone or another device and be able to watch it that way or no? Because if this is how they're going to do it and it's not available to everybody, then obviously there's going to be a lot of pirating going on. I'm not sure that's going to really help the show make any money. Now, see, Netflix has the upper hand because they've kind of been on devices from the beginning. When you first bought a DVD player, your very first DVD player, they all came with Netflix flyers inside. And that's when they were doing discs. And then they started doing the streaming. And every type of phone and app has a Netflix app on it so that you're able to, stream Netflix without any problem. So, I'd be like to see what they're going to do here. I'm kind of excited for it from a sci-fi perspective because I really did enjoy season one of Heroes. Yeah, there were some slow points. And yeah, the finale of season one, I know everybody did not like it, but it kind of, you kind of knew that it was going to be a serialized drama. So the fact that we had this kind of the ultimate battle at the end where everything was heading, and then it was just kind of like, it didn't really bother me because I knew that there was going to be more. We were going to see you know, these characters develop and more things happen, but it just kind of got convoluted there for the longest time. And I'm kind of looking forward to them doing something. Now, of course, this is all preliminary. This might never take off. That's one of the things about talking about these things that as soon as there is, you know, one bit of news, you know, they're trying to do what they can to kind of promote it and kind of gauge what people are thinking. But a lot of times the stuff never gets off the ground. Now, I came across this other story as though it was new news, and I guess maybe it's just because it's been confirmed news at this point, but Disney aims to release a new Star Wars film every summer, and apparently they made the announcement at CinemaCon in Las Vegas, saying they'll offer up a new Star Wars every summer with a schedule alternating between the new trilogy and proposed standalone films. Basically, we'll get a proper episode every other year with standalone universe stories sprinkled in to double the fun. Now, I know... You know, I'm all for this because, I mean, they've done a good job with the Marvel film schedule and obviously with a lot of their other, the Disney stuff. You know, I don't remember anything being this intense. I'm okay with this. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Disney is not, you know, these Star Wars, a lot of the Star Wars movies, I don't see how they're going to be as intense as some of the comics. I think that we're still going to stay in the PG realm, which is okay, I guess. It just remains to be seen. For me, you know, I love Star Wars. I know a lot of people love Star Wars. Part of the thing with Star Wars, though, is there was so little of it and the fan base grew. And, you know, if you look at the Star Wars films, we had three films and that was it. And we loved it. And then we had a couple crappy TV Ewok movies. We had a couple decent cartoons. The Ewok cartoon and the droids cartoon. I rather enjoyed the droids cartoon. They came later. And, you know, people enjoyed those. And now we're going to have a lot more material. You know, we had the prequels and the Clone Wars and a lot of other stuff come out. And then people started saying, this is not good. This is not good. And so I'm wondering if, you know, you look back and you wonder if everybody watched Star Wars through rose-colored glasses. You know, I've recently read and listened to, you know, different blogs and podcasts and things where people were talking about some of the issues they had with the original films. And they didn't really realize until they went back and watched them, you know, again. And so I'm wondering with all this new stuff coming out, does that mean people are going to have more and more issues with it than they had in the past? Can they keep up this schedule? Can they keep, I don't really think keeping up the schedule is a problem because let's face it, if they're going to do this, they're going to have the sets up all the time. So there's no reason you can't have the set of a command bridge somewhere and just have it there all the time. You know, like you do in a television show, and they can always go back and do whatever. There's no reason you can't have these things still standing so you don't have to deal with the production cost of rebuilding them every time. I'm excited to see what they're going to do. I really hope that they go the way of the comics. I know a lot of people out there, you know, it seems to me that in the sci-fi realm, especially doing this podcast, a lot of the science fiction fans love all the science fiction out there. And of course they love Star Wars, but they don't, not everything hinges on Star Wars for them. You know, they like a lot of the television stuff better because of the serialized content. And I also know that not a lot of people listen to podcasts, you know, read comics. I mean, I know that a lot of our active members are comics readers because they realize that rich world that comics can create for you, and people that aren't reading comics are kind of missing out. Also, we all only have so much time in the day to be entertained and do whatever. But the comics have done such a great job of expanding the universe and giving us more stories than what we had and looking at the different time frames of Star Wars that I'm kind of hoping we get more and more of that. I've been waiting for a standalone something breaking off from the original trilogy and the original characters for a while now. Even the books that deal with, you know, the original members, you know, Han Solo and Leia and Luke, they deal with like their children. And although those main characters are still in there, it's not focused around them. The story seems to move and shift and focus on the kids more. And I'd be happy with something like that. You have so many books, so many comics, so much good stuff out there that you can look at and deal with. And I wish that they would just say, hey, let's take some of these stories, some of these books, and make them movies. There's no reason that they can't do a lot of this stuff. And I'm not sure. I just hope that they do. I don't think Disney wants to pay anybody for the rights for anything. But I really wish that they would go and do that. I'm not sure how the rights for the books work, who owns those, what goes on there, but I'm really hoping that they go that route. So much good science fiction coming up and movies and television, especially movies. Oh my God, all the movies coming out. And I talked a bit about this last week and I was real excited about it. You know, the talk of Star Wars gets me even more ramped up. But my God, the Superman trailer finally came down, the official trailer, and I cannot wait for this movie. Man of Steel is something I've been waiting for since I've seen the first Superman movie and then saw the rest of them where they just kind of beat the franchise into the ground. Love the first two, could do without everything else that came after. I mean, I'm glad they're there. They're kind of fun to watch. Check your brain at the door for those ones. But I'm really, you know, Superman Returns had a lot of things that I liked, but this overall story was kind of silly. You know, the whole fact that it was a real estate scheme kind of really ruined the movie for me. But it was nice because I got to take my daughter to see Superman. Of course, that whole deal with getting stabbed with kryptonite was pretty horrible for her to watch. And I was like, well, you're not going to want to watch this part. So she didn't. And but she still knew Superman and knows who he is now, which my job here is done. But we will be going to see the Man of Steel for sure. Actually, it's funny because the kids have a skip day that they plan out, and usually they have a formal dance that comes after skip day. So if you participate in skip day, then they don't let you go to the dance. But this year the dance comes first, so they can't go back in time unless they get a TARDIS I don't know about. So I wasn't sure what we were going to do on skip day. I'm hoping that there's a film out by then of something we can go see in the morning, because usually once May rolls around, the theaters start showing stuff earlier, and hopefully we can go catch one before. And I'm kind of hoping it's Man of Steel, but if not, it'll be, you know, my third or fourth viewing of Star Trek. Anyway, but the Man of Steel trailer, oh my God, it's a great looking trailer. I cannot wait. I am so excited to see this. Just so much good stuff moving it forward that I'm so excited about movies. And we're kind of at that point now where we can, you know, with some work and some time, we can do just about anything we want to do in movies, bring all these comic books to life, and just so much good stuff. I'm just so excited. I cannot wait for all the science fiction that's coming my way. Anyhow, with that being said, let's talk about some upcoming DVD releases. Not a whole lot of stuff coming, but this is going to be for April 23rd. We have the Gangster Squad. We have Jurassic Park 3D. And that, you know, obviously there's the ultimate thing that has the 3D, the regular Blu-ray, the digital copy, ultraviolet, DVD, everything that you want. I'm surprised you didn't throw a VHS in there. Let's see. That's pretty much about it. Not a whole lot of good science fiction. I'm trying to look through here. I don't really see a whole lot of anything, but that's enough to keep us busy. Also, if you live in the UK, you're going to get Jack Reacher, and you are going to get Ultraviolet, the collector's edition. And I can't recommend Ultraviolet enough. As far as I know, there's only one series, which is a shame because the way it ended, it really needed to. It's basically a vampire series. Really, really recommend this. It's 14 bucks, or I'm sorry, 14 pounds on DVD. It is not, I'm not sure why they're resoliciting this. It's not Blu-ray, but for some reason, they're resoliciting it. And I believe this is available in the U.S. too, if you look around. But a great show. I really recommend it. And that's about it. There's no Doctor Who this week that I can see, which is, you know how that makes me feel. I like when they get Doctor Who. But no, just not a whole lot of anything. So kind of a slow week, but it gives us an opportunity to catch up on all the great stuff that's on television right now. Anyway, with all that being said, let's go ahead and listen to some Fringe. This week's episode is Season 1, Episode 15, The Inner Child. It originally aired April 7th, 2009. Now, a mysterious child, who kind of looks like an observer if you ask me, is recovered from a secret chamber that has been sealed for more than half a century underneath a city building. In the beginning, they're getting ready to tear the building down, and for some reason, a man pauses and he goes and says they've missed something and finds this hidden chamber. And of course, the kid is all scary looking because he hasn't seen sunlight, etc. And they don't really explain too much about how he can be so old and yet so young. Now, the secondary story of this, that is like the fringe part of it. The secondary story, and I'll end up tying together, is that there is a serial killer that Olivia was one of the agents working on the case. And I'm assuming that Charlie Francis was the other one. You know, again, I'm not sure how the whole partnering thing kind of worked up, you know, worked out in these episodes. You know, I always kind of felt that Charlie was more of her partner than John was. And I was never sure because it seems as though they worked on more cases together. So I'm not sure if it was that they were partners at one time and they no longer were, or how that worked. But anyhow, serial killer wasn't there. And then, you know, he disappeared, could never caught him. And now suddenly he's shown up again. And I guess the way that we know that is because he sends clues to the FBI. So anyway, the first clip I have, again, we are seeing some, you know, when Livy gets his phone call from Charlie, she is enjoying some family time with her sister and her niece, and they were just getting ready to tell her that they went apartment hunting and they may have found something. And so this kind of gets backburnered while she takes this call.
Hello.
It's me. The artist is back.
How do you know? Did we receive another fax?
Yeah. Hartford office got one too.
Who did we get a trace?
So from a copy store in Allston.
I've got Mason and Lewis headed over to question the employees, see if someone can give us a description of whoever sent it.
Okay, I'm going to be there in 15 minutes.
Some new horrifying event you're not allowed to tell me about?
Yeah. Okay, now it's going to be 14.
Excuse me, Agent Dunham?
Oh, hey.
Get the bishops. I need you to meet me at Children's Hospital.
Actually, I just had an old case reopened and I...
It can wait.
Of course, the reason that he called Olivia and the bishops is because he wants them to see the boy that they have found. And this clip kind of explains everything. They can't really explain to me how the kid is as old as he is, but it explains pretty much everything else. And we have some great Walter moments in the upcoming clips and in this episode in general.
After the boy was found, construction crews performed a search of the tunnels. It was determined they'd been sealed shut for at least 70 years. The place was a sarcophagus. The only living things down there were rats, insects, and him.
And we have no idea how he got down there. He's so pale.
He seems to be developing some sort of pigmentation.
And he probably hasn't seen sunlight in years.
Does he have a name?
He hasn't spoken a word since he was found. Dr. Bishop, any thoughts?
Perhaps. First, I need a piece of special equipment. My turntable.
Is that some kind of lab equipment?
No. A turntable. Record player. You enjoy music, don't you, Mr. Broyles? Well, imagine the agony of having an extensive record collection and having no means to play it.
The agony.
I'll have someone get right on that. This is Dr. Winnick, Chief of Pediatrics.
Look, I understand your agency's taken an interest in this child, but he's been through quite a trauma.
Is he sick?
Not as far as we can tell, but he's having difficulty breathing. We need to administer oxygen.
No. I wouldn't do that. You said the tunnel was sealed, is that correct? Well, then it's obvious that the child was trapped in a low oxygen environment for so long that his body adapted to it. And that is why he's having trouble breathing.
I don't think so.
Unless you have an IQ higher than mine, I'm not interested in what you think. Administering additional oxygen at this stage would simply cause his lungs to fill with fluid and drown him where he lies. We need to deprive him of oxygen. Get him a nasal cannula and a tank with low oxygen content. Perhaps 5% to start.
And after that altercation, and you just gotta love Walter. He knows what needs to be done, doesn't want to be argued with. He's just used to people following his orders because he just, you know, he knows what needs to be done. The next clip I have is of Walter looking through a book and giving examples of other children, or especially children, who have been away from human contact.
Amala and Kamala, the wolf girls of India. Marie Angelique Mamie Leblanc, the wild girl of Champagne. They're all feral children who grew up completely isolated from human contact, surviving, like our boy, for many years alone.
Yeah, but I'm guessing none of them could write upside down.
You're saying that the boy grew up down there?
Well, based on the blood work, yes, I'm fairly certain of the lack of vitamin D, for one, but also the complete absence of lactobacillus.
Microorganisms that help us digest. They're everywhere.
Precisely. If the boy had spent any time above the ground, then he certainly would have absorbed those.
But that still doesn't explain how he got there in the first place. You said that that place had been sealed off for decades. The boy couldn't be more than 10.
Well, he certainly looks that.
You believe he might be older?
Well, given the environmental conditions, lack of oxygen, light, and their impact on his biological development, he could be significantly older.
But none of that explains how he knew Samantha Gilmore.
No. That I can't explain. But good news, Mr. Broyles. I have located my turntable. So I don't need you to purchase me one, after all. It was under the sink in the John. So, obviously, I was sitting on the toilet.
Walter, I think that's probably enough information.
Agent Dunham, we just got another one. The artist is going after another victim.
Now, one of the ways that Olivia is able to bond with a child, and they do form a bond, is, and it's weird because as the episode progresses, you know, like in the beginning, it's like the child kept looking at Olivia, and it was like there was something going on, you know, and it was done very well. And, you know, of course, you know, she ends up forming a bond. She brings in some M&Ms and tells him about her childhood and M&Ms. And, you know, and I'm just going to play the clip. How about that? It's a good idea.
When I was a kid, I used to live on these, except the yellow. Something about the color reminded me of medicine. You want to try one? That's it. Good. Thank you. Yesterday, you wrote down a name for me. Remember? I thought today you could give me your name.
You have a real way with them. Elliot Michaels, Department of Social Services.
Olivia Dunham, FBI.
Do you mind if I borrow Miss Dunham for a few minutes? I promise, I'll bring her right back.
I'll be just outside.
Dr. Winnick brought me up to speed about your interest in the boy's case.
And the circumstances by which he was found attracted our interest.
It's bizarre, huh? Have you been able to find out anything more about him? You know, first name, where he's from?
No. I'm afraid not yet.
Well, I'm not going to get in your way. I just thought I'd stop by and see him before I get the ball rolling.
How so?
How so? Physically, it doesn't seem as if there's anything really wrong with him, so I've arranged to have him moved.
Moved?
To a facility that can provide the treatment he needs.
When?
Tomorrow. Yeah, I hope, assuming all the paperwork is in order.
Now, we're not sure why, but the kid does not like this social worker. We're going to find that out as time goes on, what's going on there. And so when they come back in the room, he is shivering and he starts to go into... I must be cardiac arrest because all the monitors start to flatline and everything. And Olivia is able to calm him down. And, she I think she realizes that he's not a big fan of the social worker. Now, as a social worker is leaving the hospital, he calls somebody on a cell phone. And this is the exchange that they have.
I'm at the hospital. I think we may have found another one.
Now, for some reason, the boy is able to give them clues to where the serial killer is going to strike next. Now, this will be explained at the end. Right now, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but he is able to give them clues. He's writing down stuff, and he wrote down an address for them. And so they went and they investigated, and they can't find anything. You know, there's nothing. They've looked around. They can't find anything. They think it's a bust. Well, Olivia's kind of frazzled because she can't, you know, I think she's kind of upset about the boy, but she's also upset about this case because she wants to close it. Obviously, she wants to capture this guy. And she goes home and she's having a drink, and we get a little bit of this family time. Like I said, you know, a lot of this stuff is going to dry up as the series progresses, but you really need this sort of thing in the first season to kind of help define our character so we have an understanding. And in the beginning, I didn't really like her sister that much. I didn't think that she really, I don't think she added anything, but I kind of like her now, and I think that the touchy-feely talks that they're going to have will be replaced with other characters. We'll have those with Olivia as the trust she has in them grows. And for season one, you didn't really have anybody she trusted except for her sister. So, her fiance, you know, obviously ended up being a traitor in the very first episode, or at least we thought he was. And she and everybody else in the series, she was at odds with, including her boss. So she really had nobody to talk to. So you kind of had to have that sister character and that relationship so she can, we can get that look inside her psyche, as it were. Anyway, not only is she going to have this talk, but Charlie's going to call her with some information. It's just going to blow her mind.
In some company?
Of course not.
Did I miss you last night, or did you not even come home?
No. You didn't miss me.
Oh. Have you eaten anything?
M&M's.
Liv, do you like it? Your job?
Yeah. Most days. Today, not so much. I followed a lead that didn't pan out. What about you? Why are you up? I'm sorry. Hello?
We found our second victim. Kate Harper.
Where?
She's right outside St. Catherine's, surrounded by candles. Good news is, we might have finally caught a break. ERT said they found some blood underneath her nails, so they're running it.
Okay, I'll be right in.
It's one more thing, Liv. The address the boy gave us. A little while after we left, a neighbor found a dog tied to a fence. It was whimpering. It was a victim's dog.
We were there.
No way we could have known, Liv.
But he was trying to tell us, and he was right, and we were there.
And of course, Olivia's rather upset because she had him. She had the clue. She knew where he was at. And when they were investigating that street, he was in the van with the victim. The victim was still alive, and he was, you know, trying to silence her as the detectives left. And so, detectives, agents, whatever. And they were detecting things, so they're detectives as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, so she's obviously upset because she's trying to capture this guy. It's a case from her past, and they didn't get him the first time, and this might be the only opportunity they have. At least it's another opportunity to try to capture him and try to stop the people from dying. And again, I've talked many times about, you know, one of the things I like about this show as opposed to a lot of the other supernaturally type shows like this, or, you know, procedural type deals, is that she does care about the victims and she does not want any more people to die. And I think that comes through, you know, when she's doing dialogue or talking to the victims or talking to her boss or her coworkers, that, you know, it's not just going through the motions that, you know, she really does care about them. Anyway, the next clip, she decides to have a conversation with Walter and see if maybe he can help, because she's frustrated because the child tried to communicate to her. And obviously, she was not able to fully receive what he was trying to communicate.
Walter, it turns out that the boy was right. He gave me a clue, but I didn't know what I was looking for. So do you have any thoughts at all? Any idea how I can reach him or how he's doing any of this?
I believe I know how he's doing it. Since he's been living underground for so long, his hypersensitivity to light and sound, it's just possible he may also be sensitive to people's emotions. A raw nerve, able to intuit the feelings and intentions of others. You're a killer for one.
So are you saying that he's psychic?
No, more a shark.
A shark?
Specifically, their electromagnetic field, which allows them to detect their prey's bioelectric field from a distance of many miles. We humans have it too, of course. Pheromones, undetectable chemicals that nonetheless affect our behavior, our sex drive.
Hey, speaking
our fear.
Of sex drive.
Oh, Peter, don't be such a prude. I'm sure Agent Dunham knows what a penis looks like. Don't you, Agent Dunham?
My father, ladies and gentlemen.
But how would he know things that I don't? Know about the killer or victims that he's never even met?
My dear, there is much that is unexplained. Until it is.
In short, he has no idea.
But even if you're right and he can sense the killer, he can't tell me that. Not in a way that I could do anything about it.
Well, if that's the problem, then there's no problem.
What does that mean?
Well, the boy is obviously thinking, yes? Having thoughts. We just haven't been able to hear them.
And I'm sure you can do that, can't you? Hear his thoughts.
Perhaps I can.
Now, the child has been communicating, you know, by writing things down. And he does not speak at all. And what I like about this particular scene is what Walter decides to do is break out the cranial device that he used in a previous episode, the Ghost Network. And, of course, when he pulls out the cranial device, Peter and Olivia kind of flip out because, like, you're not going to put that on his head. And Peter's like, last time you used it, you had to bolt it into, and you're not going to use that. So what they do is they modify it so it just slides on his head. So they are in the process of trying to use this device, and when the social worker comes in.
What's going on in here? Did you really think you could just steal a child out of protective custody and that somehow no one would notice?
Look, first of all, I didn't steal him. The child's assisting us in an active criminal investigation.
Assisting you how?
No offense, Mr. Michaels, but that's classified information. The Department of Social Services doesn't have clearance to know that. What?
Mr. Michaels isn't Social Services. He's with the CIA's Directorate of Science and Technology. I'd have told you earlier myself, but you don't have clearance to know that. This morning we were informed that DSMT would be taking full custody of the child.
So they can what? Study him?
This child was apparently able to survive for years underground in an oxygen-deprived environment with no food or water. Surely you could see how someone who doesn't have his best interests at heart might want to exploit that.
Oh, so you want to take him to protect him, is that it? Forgive me for sounding harsh, but I don't buy that for a second.
Dunham. Sorry. To be honest, it really doesn't make any difference what you think. The boy's coming with me. I'm afraid this is above both of us.
Agent Francis just called. He said we got another invitation. From the artist.
Mr. Michaels, suppose you gave us one day.
A day.
He can help us catch a murderer and save a life. The boy will be under my protection. I'll personally guarantee his safety.
If I agree to this, then you'll turn the boy over to me without a fight. Do we have an agreement?
We do.
This is not a particular meaty episode as far as the overall story of Fringe is concerned. But with that being said, I rather enjoyed this episode for a lot of different reasons. And I think you get an opportunity to see some of the other characters you don't normally see during a regular episode when you're dealing with a Fringe case. And, rather than focusing just on the three, we are able to see a little bit of everybody. But one of the things that I like is during these cases when Peter is able to pull out some information from his past that might help. And, he's done this multiple times. And in this case, they found a piece of plastic underneath, I think, the nail or something. So they're trying to kind of brainstorm where this plastic could have come from, and Peter offers this up, which I just, again, just not super important, but just a fun clip.
Here's a thought. A couple years ago, I was working down in Tennessee as a floor sweeper at a meatpacking plant.
Sounds awesome.
You have no idea. My point is, we had these big rolls of industrial-grade plastic that we used to wrap the cuts of meat in before we would send them to the grocery stores.
Cow's blood and plastic.
Yeah.
So that gives them a solid clue, and as Olivia goes around and checks out these meatpacking plants, she does find one where somebody bought the plastic, and when she goes in to the refrigerated section, the boy back at the lab starts to shiver. And because of that, Walter comes to a realization that the boy is making connection, is somehow connected to Olivia, and the next clip he kind of explains that.
Because that explains everything.
Walter, slow down. You're not making any sense.
Of course I am. The boy. Our strange little friend is an empath.
Yes, he senses other people's emotions. You already said that, Walter.
Did I?
Go on, Walter. What are you saying?
That he's capable of making connections, emotional connections, to the construction worker who found him, the killer. But most importantly, he is emotionally bonded to you, Agent Dunn. That's why he's telling you about the crimes, because he knows that the information is important to you. He's trying to help you.
Are you trying to help me? That man who's been hurting people is going to hurt someone else unless I stop him. Do you know who he is? Can you tell me anything about him?
Maybe he doesn't know.
Or he can't control the ability all the time.
Perhaps a small electric shock to kickstart things.
No. It's something different. It's like he's mad at me.
Because he doesn't want to leave. Well, you told Michaels that once the boy helped you stop the artist, you'd turn him over to him.
He heard you. Or more accurately, felt you.
I'm sorry. I've been so caught up in what I needed that I forgot how strange this must seem to you. How scared you must be, but I need your help again. I can't even stop them from taking you. Even though I wish I could. And if you really can feel what I'm thinking, you know how much I mean that.
Some great music there and some great music throughout this episode. And if I haven't said it before, I always butcher this guy's name, but it's Michael Giacchino who does the music for this. He's done a lot of movies. He's done Lost, Star Trek, it looks like he's done the majority of Fringe here. And he's doing Star Trek in the Darkness. He did Alcatraz, John Carter, a lot of great science fiction stuff that we all like. But did some great job in the music in this episode, and I really enjoy it. And I really enjoy when you have some of the episodes have upbeat music, and some of the episodes have kind of this melancholy music, and I really enjoy that. Anyway, with the help of the child, they are able to capture the serial killer, and we still have the problem of the CIA guy coming in, and or Homeland Security, I can't remember who he was, the suit, coming in and taking the child away. So the next clip, you know, what Olivia tries to get to help with the doctor, the one that Walter was chiding in the hospital. And this is, I'm just going to play the clip and I'll explain it.
Excuse me, Dr. Winnett?
Yes.
I was wondering if I could talk to you for a moment.
Sure.
Hi.
Hi. I think you'll find he's doing much better.
Hi. Oh, thank you. You remember Dr. Winnick? She's going to take you now. But not to a facility. She's going to take you to a home with a very nice family that are going to take care of you, keep you safe.
We should go now.
So the what happened here is that she got the doctor to take the child, and I'm not quite sure how she got her to do that, but obviously the child's going to go in foster care. As they drive away, that is when we see the Observer. He is standing along the road, and it's a little creepy because they're driving along in the car, and the kid looks out and sees him, and he just stares at the car as it goes by. And, of course, I'll have a screenshot and up with the podcast as well for that. This will also be a good opportunity to tell you what the glyphs spell out for the episode. The glyphs spell out Walter, which I thought was kind of weird because it's not really a Walter-centric episode, you know. But I guess, you know, usually the episodes when they spell out one of the characters, they really are focusing on that. And in this case, I didn't feel as though they were really focusing on Walter, although he had some great dialogue in this episode. But I'm wondering, again, it's a spoiler podcast. I'm trying to talk too much about what's happening in the future, but I don't remember any kind of connection. So maybe I'm just missing it or something. Again, a lot of the diggers out there are way ahead of me because, like I said, I don't like to watch too far in advance, because then I kind of forget what I wanted to mention during the podcast. So I've been kind of taking it. I've watched the first season and a half. And of course, I've seen it all before, but you know, that was years ago. My memory is like a sieve. So I like the refresh. That's part of the fun of doing it, right? And at some point in time, Babylon 5 and Fringe will be back in my watch rotation, and I'll be able to watch them unencumbered with having to worry about what audio I want to pull and just sit down and burn right through it. And if that happens, then I'm sure I'll discover other things I've missed while doing the show. Anyway, one final clip.
What do you mean he's gone?
I'm sorry, Mr. Michaels.
Gone where?
That's what we can't figure out. He disappeared from right under the noses of a protective detail.
How's that possible? He's just a kid.
Yes. A kid who, as you said yourself, lived his entire life underground, which still begs the question how he got there in the first place. I'm beginning to suspect there's a lot about him we don't understand. And apparently we never will.
Now, I like that clip because in the scheme of things, we don't get to see a lot of Broyles doing his job, so to speak. You know, I mean, he does you know, obviously we see him interacting with his agents, which is part of his job. But, you know, I have always said that I think in as you watch these episodes, you realize that Broyles just kind of got the crap end of the stick here, because he's the one who's got to do all the politicking and, you know, all that stuff and trying to do the interagency things. And we don't get to see it very often, and we don't get to see him make a stand very often. And so when he does, you know, you as time goes on and he does these things, you realize he is a man of principle. And, I you know, it's one of the reasons that I enjoy the character so much. Now, there was a song by Al Green played during the episode. It was called Love and Happiness. And every now and then we get an episode of Fringe that has music with words. And let's see, I talked about The Observer. I talked about the Glyphs. And that's pretty much about all that there is as far as this episode is concerned. It's pretty simple and straightforward. And, you know, one of those episodes that, you know, I hate to category episodes as kind of like a one-off episode. In a lot of ways, it kind of is. But, man, it's just such an enjoyable episode. And you can see, I mean, if you had a whole bunch of episodes like this, I can understand, to me, Fringe wouldn't be the great show that it is. I like the fact that everything ties together. But sometimes I like when we have kind of a simple case, a simple detective case, and, you know, the fact that, you know, the child was able to help them, you know, track down the serial killer is, you know, a great bit of the sci-fi we're looking for in the show. But sometimes it's a straightforward episode, you know, and they're doing working on a standard case is a lot of fun too. So really enjoyed the episode. And as always, I appreciate any feedback. This was episode 15, The Inner Child, or I'm sorry, just Inner Child. Now, as those of you that have been listening to the feed know that I put a test file up last week, I am moving servers. The way, and this is kind of like some inside baseball kind of talk here. If you're interested in podcasting and how the nuts and bolts, continue listening. If not, just skip ahead. But those of you that don't know, the my website is hosted by a listener. And Michael was kind enough, it's been a couple of years now, to offer up server space, because I wasn't real happy with the web provider I had, because there's a lot of restrictions on what I was able to do. And every time I wanted to change something, they were nickel and diming me. So I said, you know what, I'm not going to do this. And at the end of the day, between them and the company I was paying to host my files, I was paying about $40 a month in various server fees, etc. And I just didn't want to deal with it. It was the money. It's just that it was two different companies. It was getting too complicated. And initially, you know, I explained to Mike that I host my files on Libsyn because they have unlimited bandwidth. And then I the webpage is a separate deal. I didn't like the webpage Libsyn. It's basically a real simple blog, and I wanted more control over it. So I created my own and you know, relaunched the site and all that stuff. And so everything was going fine, and then another company bought Libsyn. And what happened that time was that apparently my credit card had expired. Well, I never know this because I hardly ever take my credit cards out of my wallet. The one credit card I use for online stuff, I use it for multiple companies like Netflix and things like that. And when they expire, when it gets ready to expire 30 days ahead of time, they send me a notice, and I go when I get the new card, I put in a new expiration date. Well, Libsyn didn't do that, and rather than sending me any kind of email or anything, they just decided to lock my account. There was no notification. And so I went to the Libsyn account and realized it wasn't serving my files. And then I did some investigating in the website and realized that they had locked my account. So I had to call them, you know, was like, well, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. You guys didn't let me know. That's part of, I mean, I'm paying you the service, and you, with everything you guys can do here, you can't let me know. You can let me know to lock my account, but you can't let me know a month ahead of time that my credit card's about to expire. Well, I won't get into what I think about the fellow I talked to on the phone, but ultimately I didn't really have a choice, so I renewed. Well, it's been like 3 years since then, and the same thing has happened. I uploaded a file. My credit card expired in March. I uploaded a file in April. No problems. Uploaded another file in April. No problems. Got an email saying that my account had been locked. They won't be serving any more of my files or be allowing me to upload anything else. And I was at work when it happened. So, you know, I get itchy if my podcast can't be served the way it's to be served. I have a lot of listeners who let me know when something's wrong, and I was just waiting for the emails to start pouring in. Luckily, it fell on a time when most of my downloads come the first 3 days, and so I didn't really hear anything from anybody. And so I went home immediately, and I tried to renew. Well, that wasn't going to work because I was grandfathered into an older plan. So I tried to subscribe to the new plan. That didn't work either. So finally, I had to email Libsyn, wait till the next day when they sent me an email, go back online, renew it. And it was just a big hassle, just a hassle I don't need. I like things to go smoothly. I have a workflow. I like to stick with it. I have very limited time, and I like to get things done, bam, bam, bam. I have it set up. If things don't go my way, I get very agitated, when it doesn't, first world problems. Anyway. Initially, when I set up the new website, Mike had said, hey, we can try serving the files from here. And I was worried about bandwidth. I was like, well, I don't know, if that's going to kill your bandwidth, if that's going to, he's doing it for free. So it doesn't really seem right for me to take advantage of that. Well, this happened. And so I contacted Mike and said, hey, I would like to be able to serve these files, myself, have everything under one roof, have control over everything. And so he said, yeah, let's do it, Mike, it's Michael Parker. He has his own, I thank him for everything, but he's just kind of laid back. He's like, yeah, you're sure. Let's do it. Let's try it. Let's go for it. No concern or anything. He's just like, yeah, let's do it. Okay. So I was like, all right. So I put the test file in to make sure that it indeed would serve up and I had no problems there. And then, so now the task comes of uploading 330 shows, that I have to go through. Fortunately, I have there's a chunk of podcasts in two different time frames that I'm missing. One, I forgot to back up way in the beginning, so it was maybe show 30 through maybe show 60, somewhere in there. And then there's the end of the 200s. I thought I backed them up, but I did not, and so. I didn't have those, so I went to Libsyn and just started downloading all the shows that I needed. So I spent about an hour downloading everything, and then I had to go and upload everything. So I uploaded about 65 shows. That took about 10 hours. And then I was lucky enough to talk to Mike, and he was like, I have show like 30 through like 255 at home on my hard drive. And I was like, no kidding. He said, yeah. And, then he kind of bragged a little bit about, his wide pipe and how he's got speed boost and all this stuff. And I was like, you want me to upload him? And I was like, yeah. So, I'm slowly getting everything up on a server, and then I'll be re-encoding or re-tagging all of the relinking is what I'll be doing. I'm going to rename and re-tag some of the shows, but be relinking all the shows in the website so they are available. Now, I'm telling you all of this for this reason. That this is going to be a long process. I figure I'll let Libsyn run another month before I cancel my plan there. I should have the last like 30 shows, the last 30 shows from today. So I'd say from show 300 up should be up to date at the end of the month. You shouldn't have any problem getting those shows. So if you're watching Fringe and you want to listen to all the Fringe episodes, I'll make sure that all those are available. The problem is going to be, it's going to be a very slow crawl for me to get relink all the other shows, unless anybody out there has a lot of free time and they want to help me out. So it's going to take a long time to relink all those shows. So with that being said, you keep in mind that if you have any friends that want to listen to the Babylon 5 stuff, I had some people send me some emails and want to know if the shows are still up, and yes, they are. But if there's anything that they want to listen to and they can no longer find a show, worst case scenario, send me an email. I can send you a direct link to the show until I get everything relinked. It's going to take me some time. This is a very long process, and I'm going to simplify the naming of all the shows that I have up there and try to get everything relinked. I know people probably don't listen to show 1 through 100, or whatever. Most podcasts are, literally in one ear and out the other, and then you move ahead. But a lot of times, with doing different, like Supernatural, and I did some Farscape, and I did all of Babylon 5, I'm going to do all of Fringe. Some people want to listen to all of those shows. So if that's the case, just bear with me, and we'll get there. If you need a show and you can't find it, you can't download it, you can't get a link, something doesn't work, shoot me an email, and I will try to get back to you as soon as possible. If it's just about a show, I'll send you the direct link. If there's something else that's going wrong, if you're having trouble getting the shows, you need to let me know as soon as you know so that I can so we can work out the kinks. So it's a little bit of a growing pain, but ultimately I'm going to be much happier because I have no bandwidth limits as far as like I can do a show every day if I wanted to. I'm not going to, Mike. Relax. Calm down. But I could do one every day because I have unlimited space now in order to serve those up. And a lot of times with Libsyn, you only have so much space every month. And then as the shows move to the back catalog, then you can upload a new one. You know, so basically those of you that don't know, you have like, say, so many gigabytes a month. And so if I load up a show today, next month is at this exact time. Man, I cannot talk today. That show will be moved to a slower server and I'll free up space on that server and I can upload the new one. So a lot of times that creates a wait period where I end up, rather than uploading the shows when I normally do, which I try to do on Friday or Saturday, I end up having to do them on Sunday night in order to get them up there in time to serve them up on Monday. So that's a little bit of inside baseball. So a little bit of state of the podcast kind of stuff. I've been working a little bit, trying to clean up the website a little bit, trying to get rid of some dead links, trying to, just tidy things up. You know, the website usually serves mostly for serving the podcast, although we have DVD deals that come up that Shane will put up there. You know, he's kind of in charge of that. If he finds a good DVD deal, he posts it up there for everybody to see. And I usually put some YouTube videos up here. Unfortunately, the YouTube links seem to expire, and then I get a post with no video. So I'll be working on trying to figure out what to do there, maybe making a direct link or something like that. I'm not sure I'm going to do there, but mostly it's just for the podcast. So I just want everybody to be aware of that I know that there might be some issues. Let me know if there's any problems. As always, you can go to scifiday.com, look at any of the show notes, and you will see all the ways you can contact me. I have a Google community. I have a Google email group, and I want to thank everybody. Boy, I shot out the email about the test file, and bam, 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 I got like 10 responses right away. I mean, it was quick. And so I really appreciate everybody helping me out with that. Just get the best community ever. I just love this community. We are rocking like dogging, baby. Anyway, I have a Facebook group. I don't have a Facebook page, but I have a Facebook group. I'm not sure what the difference is or how that benefits me to have a page over a group, but I have one. I don't do a lot of stuff with a Facebook group. Usually it's more of a Twitter or a Google groups. I really like the Google community. It works a lot better for me. I know a lot of people aren't into G+, but I like it better than Facebook, and it's a lot more versatile, and it's a lot easier to discover things. And, you know, I have the comment line, and I have email address, and we have the forums, and there's just a million ways to stay in touch and give me feedback, etc. So with that being said, I'm going to wind this up. I will talk to everybody next time. Thanks for taking the time and download and listen. Thanks for taking the time to help me out this week with my test file. I will talk to everybody later. Have a great sci-fi week. This is Aaron from the Sci-Fi Dig podcast. Over and out.